Oh, God is good. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. How precious is that word. We thank you for the joy that's set before us. We thank you that the days ahead are days filled with joyous occasions for us. We give you praise, Lord God, that you've shown us the way to life. You've shown us the way to happiness. You've shown us how to live. And we give you praise that as we raise these children, that we will teach them not the superficial truths of life, but the deep truths, the real truths, the simple truths that you have laid forth in your word, that these children may grow up in every way to experience the kind of world that you have envisioned for us. We give you praise, Lord God, that you have not only promised us a heaven in the future, but you have promised us heaven on earth now. And that is an incredible truth that the world has yet to know, and they're hungering for it, they're looking for it, and we have the answer. We have found the secret. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are teaching us in every way to lift up the lovely name of Jesus, which is our heaven. And we give you all the praise in your blessed, holy, and wondrous name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We want to pray for Ray's, is it your aunt?
Yes, my sister.
It's your sister?
Sister.
Your dad's sister. Okay, let's play. Yeah? Amen. How many know that there's only one hope? Amen. Because it's a curse, you see, that comes when you stray, and direct or indirect. Only God can break that curse. Amen. And He is the only hope. And He is looking, obviously, for people to turn to Him, not turn to medicines and a lot of other things. It's not gonna be quick enough, or it may never even happen. Amen. Thanks, Don. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. That's good, because God speaks to each of us, doesn't He? He's constantly talking to us, and He's only wanting us to listen. And everyone can hear Him. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Yeah. Good. Amen. As you know, that's a Muslim country, and though it's not officially a Muslim country, the population, because of the way that the country was constructed by Europeans, they made it unbalanced. And that unbalance is keeping the situation unbalanced. And that, of course, is true throughout the third world, particularly in Africa, though. Those that want to rule, either economically or politically, know how to divide and conquer and keep all those people at each other's throats. And that's what we're reaping the consequences of that. But even so, the answer is Jesus. And so we just thank God for His believers, wherever they are. It's good that they're in trouble, because that's the truth. And we're always in trouble in this world. We just sometimes sleep and imagine that things are going smoother than they ought to be. You understanding? The trouble is natural. Jesus said, in the world you have trouble. So, all right, anyone else? All right, let's lift up all these situations. Father God, from Ray's aunt here to AIDS to the Nigerian problem to the encouragement that the other brother brought to each of these situations that we've brought before you, Lord God, each one is unique. And praise God, we have a God who, before we even ask, you've already answered. And we thank you, Lord God, that it's not our stake. We are not the stakeholders in this. You are. And you have a stake in your word. You've already spoken and said, it'll all come out my way. And we just thank you, Lord God, that indeed there is no power on earth that's able to stop the word of God, or able to thwart or hold back or diminish what you've already said. And what you've already said, you've already seen. Because we know that you know the end from the beginning. You have seen the end from the beginning. You know how it all comes out. And so therefore your word is a revelation of what really is. And so we thank you, Lord God, that as you commanded us to pray, and you said, if you pray, I will answer, knowing that you have already seen the answer from the beginning. And so we thank you right now, and our prayers right now are in accord with your word and in accord with your will, that these situations be brought under the word of God, in line with the word of God. And we give you praise, Lord God, that this world is not finished by any means, but that there are many days left, days to accomplish for the kingdom of God. And I give you praise, Lord God, that we are among those that are part of the solution, that are part of the answer, and not part of the problem. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk on a subject that has always had universal appeal. There's not a person alive that isn't interested in this particular subject, and that is the subject of happiness. How many would like to be happy? Good. Happiness is something that God promises in His Word, and there are so many words in the Bible that relate to the word happiness. There's probably 20 or 30 in the Old Testament alone that relate to the word happiness. And God, it's God's will that we be happy. So the first thing is that God wants us to be happy continually. Not just happy, but happy continually. You know, it's one thing to be happy momentarily and then to lose it. So let's pray that as we open the Word of God, God will show us all these truths. Father, we pray now as we open Your Word that You would show us the happiness that is every man's destiny who comes to You, and that it is Your will and desire that those who have found You would also find complete and total happiness in Jesus' name. Bring us home to this truth that no man might misunderstand, and that we might see what Your plan is for the ages, what Your plan has always been for Your church, what Your plan is for the people of God, that we might experience now, here and now, the happiness that You had in Jesus and that is now to be our lot in life. And we'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, first of all, everyone who is a Christian is already happy. Now, you may not know it, but you are. So let's just say that right now. I am happy.
Amen.
And the reason you are is because the secret to happiness, or the reason why we're happy, has nothing to do with something inside of ourselves. It has nothing to do with something built into us. Happiness is a byproduct. Happiness is a byproduct. Now, happiness does not come from sin. Happiness does not come from unholiness. Happiness does not issue from unholiness. But it comes from knowing the Lord. God wants His people to know Him, and knowing Him to experience happiness. Now, normally when people are, particularly this front row here, I want them to listen very carefully, John and Cara and Melissa and so on. I want you to listen carefully, because most people assume that if we had all of our wants or our needs met, that we'd be happy. We assume that somehow happiness is bound up in material possession or in earthly comfort or in living at ease or, you know, some sort of thing like that, having all of our needs met. But the Bible is much more wise than that, and the Bible has taught us a much better road than that temporary unhappiness. So let's look at Psalm 1 and find out what the Bible has to say about happiness, human happiness. Everybody in the world is looking for human happiness, and let's see what brings it. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, the Bible, when it talks about happiness, starts out negative. Happy is the man who doesn't do all this. Because the natural thing in this world is to go this other way. So happiness doesn't come to us naturally. Let's say that. Happiness does not come to us naturally. It doesn't. The natural, just growing up, does not make us happy. Naturally, just growing up makes us unhappy. So happiness is obviously then not an easy thing to come by. As a matter of fact, it's the hardest thing in the world to obtain and maintain. It's the hardest thing in the world. And that's why I want to teach you about it today, because I want particularly the young people here, I want them to realize that happiness is not going to come your way just by growing up, but it comes by tremendous hard work. Hello? Hello? It doesn't just come to you, and I want to make sure that we pass on to the next generation, as well as ourselves, that television and all the unreality that we find around us, because television is 99% illusion. That is, it's not real at all. Television is mostly made up by the devil, being blunt. But mostly the writers and those that do the performance on it, there are some exceptions, praise God. Maybe it's 2% or something, but it's not a lot. Most of what we see on there is ungodly. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so in television, but also at school. And also now, and even in our government, we're finding a lot of unreality. A lot that is unreal. Because our government is no longer following natural law. Our government is no longer following natural law. You may not know what I'm talking about, but natural law is God's law. And God's law is real. Now, our government is no longer under natural law. Our government is now following culture. That is, the way people are thinking. And a government that follows the people is a foolish government. A government that follows the people, whose laws are adapted to the latest thoughts of people, is a foolish government. But natural law, which our Constitution is founded on, and common law, which is the biblical law, that is the only basis for a people, for a government of a people. And happy are those people. Happy are the people whose foundation is natural law, or common law, or Scripture. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. And now we have separated ourselves from God. We have turned away from His commandments. I'm talking about the practice of our nation now. We're no longer following the laws of God in our nation, and therefore we're going to reap the consequences we are. AIDS is one of them. That's one of the reasons we're reaping consequences. And because our school system and all of our sociologists and psychologists and everybody else in this world who's now an expert in something or other, it's all nonsense and witchcraft. And we need to understand that. We need to tell that to our kids. We need not to let our kids go to school and think that they're doing something great if they go into sociology. That's witchcraft. They go into psychology. That's witchcraft. It's all unbiblical and ungodly and leads to hell and death and misery and all the problems that we now face. I remember when I was first going to school, they were debating whether psychology was a science or whether it was something else. And they decided it was a science, and so now they teach it as one of the social sciences. Nonsense. There is no such thing as social science. Nonsense. In other words, that was the idea back in the Greek and Roman world. They gave us these crazy ideas. The ideas came from the Greeks, and the Romans put it into practice. The idea is that man is the measure of all things. That man is the decider. That man somehow can decide, you know, what's what. And so God said, no, only the Word of God tells us the truth. Only the Word of God tells us the truth. And so when you have man setting up laws that he finds, by observation and so on and so forth, it would be all right if really they would be built on observation, but unfortunately they're not built on observation because God has no problem with what's out there. He made it. Anything that's out there will lead to God. If you actually study crickets and grasshoppers and trees and clouds and weather and whatnot, you'll come to God. Now that's a law. What I just told you is a law. You can't help it. You have to go out of your way to avoid that conclusion, which all these scientists now have done for the most part. They go out of their way to avoid that conclusion because they don't want to worship God. And let's forget why, but the point is that most of those intellectuals like to be free, and freedom means death. To be free from God's Word means death. So today we have a separation of science and technology and all the stuff they're doing and a moral base. There's no more morality. There's no more values. They just make up values now. And that's what's being taught in our school system and on television and so on. Well, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I want you to know, if you're going to school today, you're in trouble. You know, you're about to go to school. Some of you kids are in school. Mark, you're still in school. People are going to school. You're in a den of untruth and illusion. Because much of what's taught in school today is no longer real. It's not real. A farmer, milking a cow is real. A farmer planting a seed is real. I've never met a farmer who's unreal. You can't be unreal if you're a farmer. Because you're dealing every day with weather and you're dealing with God's nature. You're dealing with reality. You've got to sow or you don't reap.
Amen.
You don't find farmers are easily fooled. It's hard to fool a farmer. Now, once you mortgage away their farm, that was the dumbest thing farmers ever did. Once you mortgage away their farm, then they no longer can think. Now the banker thinks for them. And that's why there's so much illusion today in America and throughout the world, and there will be no changing until we go back to God's law.
Amen.
Now what I'm telling you, you won't hear many places, but I'm telling you this is the truth, and this is what we should teach our children. God wanted us to work by the sweat of our brow, didn't he? God said, get out there and sweat. And we think, well, we'll turn to manufacturing. And that's a secret. I'd get away from the farm, all the kids get off the farm, you know, make a good living, you know, have a big car and a stereo and, you know, really move uptown. Well, throughout the world, people are moving off the farm, moving into cardboard shacks at the edge of cities. And our manufacturing has degenerated us now because we put more weight on manufacturing, not even based totally on agricultural products. And therefore, as people have told us through the ages, if you get too heavily dependent on manufacturing, you've lost contact with reality. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but I do. I know what I'm talking about. Because we were warned by the founding fathers, don't you dare get away from an agricultural base, and we have. In 1940, there were about 8 million farms in the country. Now there's 1/4 of that. There's about 2 million farms left. A lot of those are mega farms, big farms, because the farmland has been gobbled up and so on. And so we don't have people self-reliant making decisions based on reality. We have a lot of people that are not making real decisions anymore. And the people in the cities, what do cities know? Hello? You know, what's a mayor? Has Mayor Boland ever made one real solution to anything? No, he can't solve any of his problems. No mayor can, because cities can't work.
Amen.
Because unless God's never for cities.
Amen.
If you ever read the Bible. Hello? God hates cities. They're just, you know, it's just a den of problems. He's for towns. Towns are all right, as long as the town is based upon agricultural base. Now, we've obviously gotten astray. That's why there's no more freedom. That's why there's no nothing, because we're living in illusion. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm telling you what the counsel of the godly is. Blessed is the man who knows the Lord. Blessed is the man who follows God's ways. Blessed is the man who doesn't follow the other way. And it starts out with the negative. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly. So we've been led astray, and a lot of our decision, a lot of our thinking now, you know, I'm amazed. I studied the most ridiculous thing you can study in school. There's one ridiculous thing you can study in school. Philosophy. That's the most ridiculous thing you can study. And the amazing thing to me is, praise God, I got free from that. I mean, God had to come down in Yale and speak to me in 1964 and say, get out. Now, if he hadn't done that, I'd still be trapped today. But the whole world today is led by philosophers. I'm amazed that everything is following all that junk that I studied. You know? Machiavelli and Plato and Socrates and all those guys are as alive today as ever. Descartes, all those crazy people. Really. And you see, our politicians today are so dumb, listen to me, not everyone, praise God, but the bulk of them, that they listen to Montesquieu and they listen to Plato and they listen to, you know, all these old Greeks and Romans and, you know, whatnot, who don't know anything. You say, are you against education? Mm-hmm. I am. I'm against an education that is not submitted to the Word of God. When education separates itself from the Word of God, it has lost all of its purpose and meaning and value. It becomes simply materialistic and rationalistic, which leads to death and hell for the people. Now, I'm angry about that because you cannot go against God's Word. And God's Word says that you must never separate the mind. You must never separate the mind. You know, all we've got today is, you know, you got a good mind, we put that to science and technology, and then put that to industry, hard work. And if you do that without a moral base, without wisdom, without God's Word, without integrity, without character, without a vision, without a purpose, without compassion, if you separate these things, which is what we've done, separating now science from real value, you don't have science anymore. You don't have science. You don't have technology. You have the wicked, you have the ungodly now ruling our nation and our world, no longer based on natural law, but based on the foolishness of people who want to control and put people under bondage. Hello? Do you know what I'm talking about, James? What I'm saying is that science today has no values. It just puts stuff in test tubes without asking if it's right. Why? Because the scientists don't know what's right. They say, well, we're scientists. We don't have any values. Well, I'm going to tell you, there are values. And certain things are wrong. And you see, you know, a few years ago, when I was in school, you know, they still were kind of cautious. Now there's no caution. You know, we just see it on television. Even Christians watch that stuff. You know, just watching it and, you know, don't write up and call up and say, get this thing off the TV or something. We just sit there and take it all in. And it's time to rebel against that. Hello. At least here. Hello. So our school systems are all based on the wrong thing right now. They're based on the counsel of the ungodly. I'm making it simple because who else in the world is going to say these simple things? I think Christians must and pastors must tell the Christians. So the ungodly today are running things, but praise God, that's why we're here. I don't care how far we've gone astray, there's always hope, isn't there? There's always hope. We can turn things around, can't we? We did it before, we'll do it again. Jesus did it. He messed up the strongest nation on the earth. I mean, I don't care how big man ever gets, God always is bigger. You can look at any nation, any kingdom, any empire that's ever been, or any thought or any idea or any notion or anything, and God can always beat it.
Amen.
Hello? Now, the reason for that is not just to show that he's tough. The reason for that is because it leads to happiness. I told you that the most basic thing in mankind is happiness. Everybody born on the face of the earth, this is one common thing. They all want to be happy. And another thing is, they're all sinners, so they can't get it.
Amen.
But blessed is the man that trusteth not in the ungodly, that walketh not with the ungodly, that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful, that standeth not in the way of sinners, that listeneth not, that attendeth not to the ungodly, the wicked. So you kids want to know what happiness is? It's not a car. It's not a good wife. Not a good-looking boyfriend. It's not being popular. It's not accumulating a lot of money. It's not living at ease. It's not having it easy. That is the lie of hell and Satan and the devil to make us relax. And we're sleeping now. We're sleeping as a nation. And we're slipping. Because we're sleeping, we're slipping. All around the world, people aren't looking to America anymore. People are not looking to America because they no longer believe it's the land of hope. They now believe this is a land of hopelessness. This is a land where people are, you know, if you're in the world at all, and you're listening to what's going on, you realize that very little is real out there. Haven't you sensed that when you go to the grocery store or wherever you go? Things are not real. Somehow decisions are being made that don't make any sense. You know, why is it that we give grain to the Russians when we're supposed to be their enemies? And how come Chase Manhattan has a bank right in Moscow? And nothing makes sense. Let's see, I thought we were the good guys and they were the bad guys or something. You know, we get all mixed up. It's not very clear anymore what's going on in the world, is it? It isn't clear to me. You go to Mozambique, it's a communist country that likes Westerners, that also has the Russians there, and it's all kind of mixed up. Somebody's lying somewhere. Don't you sense that? I mean, you young people must be, you know, really, you know, wondering, well, what's going on, you know? You watch television, you know, you see the toothpaste ads and, you know, all this. It looks like it's going to be a happy life and, you know, a new mixer and cheer and stuff like this. And then you look at some awful, god-awful movie that's, you know, all twisted and psychological and stuff and you can't even figure it out. You know, life is crazy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not unhappy. I'm exceedingly happy. I don't care what happens to me, because nothing's going to happen to me except good things. Because I've got a God, and I'm going to walk in a godly way. I'm going to walk in the way of godliness. And I'll tell you, that's not easy. You say you just kind of walk. No, it's hard work to do that. You've got to think, for one thing. So I want you right now to realize, Byron, James, Joe, you've got to think in this world. You can't just say, well, I just hope it kind of works out. I'll just kind of fit in. You can't fit in. You can't just hope it'll work out. You've got to make it happen according to the Word of God. You've got another boss. Your first boss is God. And God says, do it this-a-way, and don't do it that-a-way. Right? Now, when you live that way, it's tough. Because the whole world is pushing you in this direction. You know, you're just kind of moving right along. You know, and even if you wanted to go this other way, you can't because the world's pushing you. And everything's going that way. And if you rely upon the world, you're just going to be dragged along till you hit the wall. But God says, go against all that. Just push away all that. And that takes brains. You've got to use your mind. You cannot just say, well, I'm not very bright. I think I'll just kind of do what everyone else is doing because that's probably the right way. You know, and you'll get nowhere. God says, blessed is the man who does not stand with the wicked, who does not sit with the scornful, who does not go along with what's going on. In other words, God has always taught from the beginning, go against the crowd. I could say the crowd is always wrong, but at least it's 99% wrong. Sometimes the crowd is right, but very seldom. And when it is right, it's right by accident. It's not right because it crowded itself into that. So you must learn to stand alone. Have you seen that? Have you seen that at school? You have to stand alone or out in the crowd or whatever. You know, they want you to join them in all of their happiness. You ever found happiness in alcohol, Joe?
No.
Never. You can't find it there. It's not in drugs. It's not in doing what the crowd says. When the crowd talks you into something, it's wrong. Hello? But happy is the man that walks not in the way of the wicked.
Amen.
Happy is the man. Clay, you haven't had an easy life. You know, I mean, you know, outwardly it's okay, but I mean, inwardly you're kind of confused as to, you know, how am I going to get happiness out of this world? Play basketball a lot, you know. I mean, what's going to bring me happiness? And it's not just handed to you. You got to get it. It's not just given to you. But his delight, that is the man that walks not in the council, but his delight, the man who's blessed, the man who's happy, the word in the Hebrew there, by the way, is asher, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And the word asher, which is one of the most, that word is used so often in the Old Testament, it's, in other words, used a lot, it means this. It doesn't mean just happy. It means most exceedingly happy. The highest happiness is the man who doesn't walk in the way of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Law. So God's the people of God who have learned to walk with the Lord and his law, those are the exceedingly happy people. Happy is the man who has learned not to walk with the world, but who has exceeding happiness because his delight is in the law of the Lord. So the first thing is God wants us to be exceedingly happy. The second thing is happiness, or prosperity even, does not come from managing your own life. Now, I talked about that last time, that Jesus has come to be the manager of our lives, that he's a personal managing presence. He personally wants to manage your life minute by minute, day by day. Not just in general, kind of wind you up like a clock and then let you go. You know, God isn't like that. God wants to personally walk with you, be with you, talk with you, say, get up. You know, he was calling me last night, you know. Get up, Jim, I want you to worship me. I want you to stay awake for a while and worship me. You know what time it is, God? You know, it's time to worship me. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. And you know, that's what God wanted. He wanted me just to spend some time and worship him. He wanted to be my personal manager. He wanted to manage my life. He didn't want me to just to say, well, I'm tired right now. He wanted to say, wake up, open your eyes. I want you to worship me now for a while. Well, what for? You know, what are you short on worship? You know, what do you need worship for? Well, it's not for me, it's for you. You know, it's for you. It wasn't God was missing something, so he needed worship. He was worthy of it. He deserved it, and he wanted to be Lord. He wasn't just trying me out. I needed it. He didn't tell me why, but just I'm sure he had, you know, he knew. But he wanted to be my manager. So he said, you know, happiness doesn't come from managing your own life. It doesn't come from unholiness. It doesn't come from walking in the way of the ungodly. It doesn't come from sitting with the scornful. It doesn't come from your natural thinking. But happiness does come as a byproduct of knowing God. So happiness is a byproduct of knowing God. Happiness comes as a byproduct. It's not in itself anything, but it comes as a byproduct. You can't get happiness by having a car or something. Happiness is a byproduct of knowing God. Now, remember last time I told you, knowing Him is two parts to it. What are they? Who is God? First of all, He is Good, good. Did you see how the group worked there? We got it, you know. It was slow when we just individually answered. But yeah, Savior and Lord. All right? Now, Savior basically means God loves me and won't reject me. And Lord means He's with me and I can't fail. I'm translating it into kind of emotional terms. That basically, to have a Savior means that God loves me unconditionally and I'll never be rejected. Isn't that good to know? I mean, no matter what I do or don't do, He'll never reject me. If you knew that, if you would listen to that counsel, that God loves you, and you knew that, not looking to pastor, not looking to other people, not looking to something else in this world, because there's no happiness from that, not lasting happiness. You can't get lasting happiness from something else. But to know that God loves you personally, that He has geared the whole world to bless you, you couldn't fail. Boy, don't you see what energy you'd have, what confidence you've had, what fear would go away? How could you be afraid? The Bible said to Abraham, God said, fear not. That's why you should never have fear in your life. You should never have fear in your life. Just say it right now. There is no fear in my life. There's no fear. Because, why? Because of this. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. In other words, I will protect you from all evil. No weapon fashioned against you will prosper. I mean, all. When God says that, don't look. Because you'll see a weapon coming and you'll think, oh, wait a minute. But God said it. And that's it. Don't look. Don't measure it. Don't say, well, it looks to me like this weapon is prevailing. No, don't look. Just say, He said it. So just duck and get back up and go on. And your exceeding great reward. So don't check your pockets to see if you got an exceeding great reward. Just believe it. God said, I will protect you. You are safe. You're absolutely secure down here. How many of you feel secure? Well, don't rely on feeling secure. How many are secure? Yeah, that's better than feeling secure, because feeling can come and go. You can get feeling out of alcohol. You can get feeling out of, you know, a few friends congratulating you on the back. You can get feelings from a lot of things, and it's an illusion. Again, we're back to illusion. But the truth is that you are happy because God is your shield. Now, that's a faith statement, isn't it? I mean, that's based on faith, not fact. That's not based on some observable fact, because you can't measure God by observable facts. He has now and again come through for us, and we've experienced it. But He doesn't come through in a way that we could secure ourselves to it, right? In this world. The only thing we have in this world is the Bible. Amen. The rest of it is yo-yo, up and down. You can't make any conclusions from the rest of it. If you say, God loves me because everything's going my way, just look around, wait a bit, you know, what about this thing over here? You can't measure it by looking at life. I couldn't tell you God loved me because everybody loves me. You know, say, the reason I know God loves me is because, look, everybody loves me. Amen. I couldn't conclude that. Amen. I could just as well conclude nobody loves me. But I'll say this. God loves me based on the Bible. Based purely on the Bible. Totally and completely and absolutely on the Bible. That's the way you know. How many now know that you're loved? See, then you never could lose. Emotionally, you have freedom. Emotionally, you'll never be afraid. Emotionally, you're secure. Now, the second thing is, Lord, this is not love here. The Lord is that I'm with you. And not only am I with you, and I'm on your side, and you can't fail, but I'll make sure you prosper. I'll guarantee that you're rewarded. I'll guarantee that your work has fruit. Oh, I like that. Because the Lord is with me, not only to protect me from evil, not only to guarantee me that He loves me, not only to say you won't lose, but now He's with me to say, I will prosper in everything I do. It's a guarantee. Do you believe that? Or don't you think that would make a difference in your life to know that you could never lose and that you would always win? How many know that? I will never lose, I am always winning. Let's say that. I will never lose, I am always winning. Boy, isn't that great to know you can't lose, Jane? That's exciting. You cannot lose. You are winning. Now, it's only when you look at something, you think, well, I don't think I'm winning here. But that's just your thought. Your thought happens to be wrong. You are winning. So just say it. Look into the face of defeat and say, I'm not defeated. It looks like I'm defeated, but I'm not. And just say, I'm winning right here. Because God didn't lie. Unless you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly and sitting in the seat of scornful and so on, you've got happiness. because there's no way anyone could take it. So knowing God, that's the secret to happiness, is knowing God. Knowing Him. How many are coming to know Him? You're learning to know Him as Lord, as Savior. You've got everything. You've got peace assured, and you've got salvation. So this is the holy way. This is a set-apart way. This is not the way of the world. The world does not walk in this way. The world is not trying to know God. The world is trying to get its needs met. The world is trying to, you know, get as much as it can, as much freedom, and that's why it can never get it. Have you noticed that the world is grasping after everything and it can't get anything? Have you seen that? When you try to get a hold of, you can't get anything. But knowing God, you can always know God. I don't care what you do in this world, one thing I can always win at, knowing God. Amen. I can always know Him as Savior. Even when I fall on my face, I can know Him as Savior. I can always know Him as Lord. Even when I'm impotent and weak and have no strength, I can call out to Him and He will be my strength. I can always know Him. I never fail with God. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. So God wants us to be happy. Happiness does not come from managing our own affairs, managing our own lives, but happiness comes from knowing God. It's a byproduct of knowing God. Now the next thing is, happiness does not come easily. Happiness does not come easily. Happiness does not come easily. Easily. Can't even spell easily. Now, that's good to know. I want everyone to know that it's hard work alone. It takes brains, it takes industry, it takes character, it takes all kinds of things to not only receive happiness, but to maintain it. It's a gift of God. From knowing God, it's a gift. And by the word, the word in the Greek is charis. Charis. Or it means grace, but it also means happiness or joy, which is, it comes from thanksgiving. In other words, there are other words for happiness, but this one has to do with the fact that something is given to you, and it's the joy that you get when you get something. So the word chara actually comes from the Greek word, which means joy, which is when a gift is given, there's great joy or thanksgiving that comes forth. When you realize you're living in an attitude of gratitude all the time. When your entire life is constantly grateful, thankful, that's joy. That's charis. This particular word here is... The idea is that it came from God as a gift and produces in us thanksgiving. That's what that means. Now, there are other words for jumping up and shouting, and those are other kinds of joy and happiness and mirth and so on. But this particular word has the idea of a gift given to me from God, something I didn't earn. So happiness, then, does not come easily because Satan, an enemy of ours, Satan is going to put trouble in our way. He's going to do everything to make it hard, to be happy. He'll do everything to prevent you from being happy. Amen. Now, in the world, Jesus said, you have trouble. That's John 16:33. In the world, you have trouble. John 16:33. So, we expect trouble. The devil has his job cut out for him to try to do everything he can to keep you unhappy, Joe. That's the devil. Have you noticed he's hard at work? Have you noticed that? He's hard at work trying to keep you unhappy. Mark, have you seen that? He hates you, and he doesn't like you being blessed, and he doesn't want you being happy, and so he's going to do everything he can to make troubles happen in your life so you can never accumulate any happiness. So if you're looking for happiness in this world, you're going to be very disappointed. The devil's going to interfere. The closer you get to the Lord, the devil's going to interfere. He'll do it even if you're not close. He'll just do it. He'll just do it. But that's his job. You know, no one can take away his job. That's his job. God allowed it. God allows that job. And God said, devil, you're not big enough, even if you do your job, to stop me from blessing my children. Because I'm going to teach them the way of the law. I'm going to teach them the way of holiness. I'm going to teach them the way to know me. You see? And as long as we're walking in the straight and narrow path with God, there is nothing that can happen to us, no matter what the devil designs and desires. That's why no weapon fashioned against us can prevail. It's impossible for the devil to win on us. You see him winning in the world, and he's winning in the churches because the churches are worldly. Did you hear me? The only reason that he's winning in the churches is because the churches are worldly. And that's why he has access. He has a legal right. That should tell us something. It should tell us right away, oh, we must be sitting in the seat of the scornful. We must be standing in the way of sinners. We must have missed the way. That's why we're not happy. We must have built our happiness on things. We must have built our happiness on human relationships. We must have built our happiness on something creaturely, not on knowing God as Lord and as Savior. Now, when you are a Christian, you can have all the other things too. Nothing wrong with that. But they are not the source of, or the base of, they're a product of our happiness. If with Christ Jesus, all other things are yours as well. Hello? Now, what are you going to do with all those other things? Well, I'll tell you what, as soon as we get along the road here, you'll see what happiness is. Happiness is not just receiving those things, it's sharing those things with others. That's why God blesses us. He doesn't bless us to keep it to ourselves. Some of the saints I'm looking at right here in this room, I can see that you've been blessed, and I know what you've done with your blessings. I know that some of you have taken the things you've received, and you've shared them with others. And there's great reward in that. And some of you have not even let anyone know. I mean, you've done it quietly. That's a blessing. That's tremendous. And that is the Spirit of Christ, isn't it? Not only to be blessed, but then to take that blessing and to share it. Amen. A lot of us say, well, you know, if I were ever blessed, I'd bless others. But then when we get blessed, we forget others. You know, it's a temptation. And we fall into the way of the world. But I tell you, when God blesses you, give away, bless. That's what it's for. Freely you have received, freely give. If nothing else, give away the gospel. If nothing else, give away the gospel. We've got it all, don't we? We at all times have everything we need. At every moment. Now the fact that some are hurting or something like that's not a permanent situation. Because when you find Christ Jesus and you do the things that I'm about to show you that lead to happiness, you'll see that hard work and industry and character and virtue and vision and all these things lead to abundance, not only in the world to come, but now. What for? To bless others. That's what it's for. That's why the world today is a mess, because the world today has no moral conscience. It's made up its own moral conscience. You know, when the World Bank says we're going to help some third world country, does the World Bank really know how to do that? Put $1 billion into Mozambique, now they're $3 billion in the hole. Well, where did their billion go? Now they're $3 billion in the hole. They were better off before they took the loan. You know, you say, well, no, we helped them. You didn't help them. The World Bank doesn't even know how to help. It's got all these big programs, bring in some big farm, you know. That's what they do in these countries. You know, they bring in some big mega farm, 40,000 acres under cultivation. They write that in their brochure, take a picture of somebody and send it back. But what happens is, those people, the first year they get a big crop or something, everybody rejoices and so on, but the next year they got to pay for the fertilizer. And they go broke. Hello. And then, you know, then some insect comes in that they didn't get the first year, and the people cut down $1.50 on the insect spray or something because they want to pay $10 zillion to get it. And the insects eat up their crop, and now they're really lost. And then they bought new tractors, you know, some new Massey Ferguson tractors, and all of a sudden they couldn't afford the 15-cent O-ring and didn't know what to do with it anyway until the tractor's sitting out in the field. That's how we help. You call that help? Hello? Hello? And all the programs are that way. I'm telling you right now the truth. That's the way it really is. We're very close to the president of the World Bank. You know, we talked to him. They don't have any programs that work. He says, if you've got a program that'll work, the one you're describing, I'll fund it. We don't know how to make our programs work because there's no moral code tied to it. You see, when people hear about what we're doing right now around the world, they say right away, wow, that's what needs to happen, is the spiritual needs to be brought with the government, with the business. And we don't know how to do that because there's no spiritual code to the stuff that's out there. Can you run this world without the spiritual?
No.
Well, it's being run without it, and that's why it's being run into the ground. I'm telling the truth. I mean, when businessmen hear about what we're doing, they immediately light up and they go, wow, we believe in that. We believe in that. We have all of the agencies wanting to work with us. OPIC, that's a big, they got billions. By the way, all the money in America went to all those organizations. 1972, Nixon let all the gold go to the World Bank and all these other outfits. That's why you don't have any money here. That's why none of the banks in Texas are solvent. Hello, do you know that? Of course, you'll never see that for a few thousand dollars or a few hundred thousand dollars, but you get into the millions and the billions and you'll find out there's no money here. It's plastic, it's soft. To me, no end. The worse it is, the better I like it. Because that means no one's going to get in there with some big project or program. And that means that God has an opportunity there to do something. Anybody in America that's working with Mozambique is working with Renamo. That is, the good guys on the other side. We're working with the bad guys. And that's why I know we'll win. Because God has given us favor. God has given us favor because we've lifted up Jesus. We went immediately to the president of the country who was a Marxist, anti-Christian. I mean, an atheist. He just said, I don't believe in God. And he jailed all the ministers. That's the man we went to and said, we'd like to bring Bibles to your country. We'd like to start with 10,000. What do you think? You know, and the guy said, sure. Because we also said, and we'll give you some food and whatnot and so on and so forth. He said, sure. And we want total freedom to do everything we want to do in your country. I mean, total. You can't restrict us in any way. He said, sure. Now, what communist does that? Wasn't that ridiculous? And we even wrote the documents just in case, you know, we didn't want them to write it. We just wrote it and said, here, we want the moon. When we got done, they gave us the sun. They did. Why? Because the Spirit of God was there. He said, Jim, if you'll obey me, you'll see it'll just open up. And when we got there, I mean, I've told you the story. I was scared. I didn't think anything would ever happen there. I had no documents, no letter, no assurances, no anything. And all the ambassador said is, go, I've arranged for you to go. And, you know, you had to hope that that guy was, you know, and all the stories I'd heard. To spread the gospel. It's exactly right. And that's why we're there. We were there as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I wasn't there to impress communists or whatever. I just went there as a Christian. And I said, look, we're here because we want to preach the gospel. We want to, and would you please have your Marxists put these Bibles in their trunk of the limousines so we can take them to the people? And would you give us an interpreter so when I preach, they'll say the right words? And they did. Why? Because I don't know anything about this world. All I know is what God said. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful or walk in the way of the ungodly. All I know is if you are right with God, you don't have to worry about the world. The world will adjust to you because you're real. The world is not real. I don't even know what a communist is. I don't even know what a Marxist is. I don't know what those fellows are. I said to him one day, I said, how come you guys are letting us in? I mean, we're Christians and you're communists. That's kind of blunt, but, you know, you get down to that. Isn't it kind of funny? And he said, because you Christians, we think we can use you because you might keep your word. That was the thing they thought about Christians. You might keep your word. We're taking a long shot on you. I said, that's a pretty long shot. Because, you know, how can we ever guarantee that if we bring something here, it'll happen? And they said, don't trust us. You guarantee it. You bring your own people. You bring your television. You do what you have to do to make it happen. Don't ask for our cooperation. Because we're corrupt. They told us that. They told us, don't you dare rely on us. You bring your own people and do it yourselves, and then, you know, it'll work. I said, well, that's exactly what we want. That's what we were going to ask you. Can we do it ourselves? And, you know, he said, yeah, do it yourself. That's a miracle. That's a sign of God. Because God wants happiness. You know, those people want happiness. The only thing I remember from all the conversations I've ever had is one word. I remember the minister of religion there, who was a Marxist, who put religion under the Justice Department, part of the Department of Justice there. He said to me, this was his closing remarks in a banquet that we had, a state banquet, was, we are a lonely people here. Don't forget us. Now, that struck me as funny. Why did he say that? Why didn't he say something about food and clothing and stuff? He didn't even talk about that. He was talking about loneliness. Those people are lonely. They don't exist. And we came over representing friends. They were after friendship. Not food. Not clothing. Not shelter. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we were told the most basic things in life, food, clothing, and shelter. They didn't want that. They didn't say, come and make our people stay alive. They didn't say, come and give our people a new quality of life. What they said was, we don't have any friends. Would you be our friend? We're lonely here. Would you come back again? Are you going to go away and never come back? Don't forget us. You know, that struck me deeply. We have it on television, so if anybody would like to see it sometime, the man's words, they're on the television. He speaks broken English, but you can understand it. That struck me deep. You know, these people are looking for Jesus. They just have never seen Jesus in the Jesus way. They've seen Jesus dressed up in tradition and dressed up in, you know, a lot of other things, but they haven't seen Jesus. They were 500 years in Catholicism. They saw oppression. They saw, you know, the priests burying the guy under the banana tree saying, you know, hoc est corpus meum. It's not what he said, but, you know. The point is that they heard the guy saying something in Latin over the guy that was dying, and those Africans couldn't even speak Latin. And here's the priest, you know, going, you know, he's saying all that stuff. That didn't mean anything. All they remembered was this priest was going along with the death of this black man bearing him as a banana tree. These are the pictures that are vivid in their minds. When have they met Jesus? They're looking for Jesus, a Jesus who comes to them and cares about them individually. And will bring all of the brains, will bring everything that we've got to bear on, because those are God's brains. That's God's bread. That's God's love. It's God's friendship. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that realizes that his happiness is tied up in blessing others. Jesus was a servant. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus did not just preach. Jesus also gave bread. Jesus also healed. Jesus also met their needs. Jesus was right in there with them, God with us. He stayed with them. He loved them. He cared about them. He didn't leave us alone. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And in effect, I've said that to the Mozambicans. I've said, I'll be back. Kind of like MacArthur, you know. I'm going to return. God willing, I will be back. And they believed me. And I was impelled. I didn't want to say that, but I was impelled to say that. You poor people, all you're looking for is, gosh, some friends or something. I'll be back. I've got to come again. Even if it costs everything I've got, I'll come back. I've got to. You understand? It's the Spirit of God, not some human trying to look good. Man, that's a mess over there. You don't want to look good over there. Hello. It's too much trouble. You know, there's 100 Cubans that are dressed in plain clothes, that are terrorists, that will kill anybody that tries to, you know, change the situation there. I mean, they're paid to do that. You can see them. You can see who they are. And maybe there's more by now. I don't know, but there were 100 when I was there. That are trained commando terrorists that are always around the, you know, the officials there. And we were in and out, you know, smiling, laughing, dancing, singing. We don't know what we were doing. And the Cubans probably didn't know what we were doing either, you know. But we don't speak Cuban, so. Hello. No, we didn't understand. You know, I would go up to Russians. Gavrichi Pruski. That means, do you speak Russian? Ah, kok mi podivaita. And the guy thought I spoke Russian. And I'd say, Jesus loves you. Because that was the end of my Russian, you know. So. Same thing with the Koreans, you know. Go up to the Koreans. Komsahamnida. And these are all these guys with, you know, Kim Soon on their little lapel. So I knew they were Korean. You know, they had the picture of their president on their lapel. Ah, komsahamnida. And then we start talking, and then they realize I don't know any Korean either. They say, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Texas. You know. But you see, if we had Bibles, we could have given Bibles to those people, because those people are hungry. They're people. They're hungry for God. This world is aching, hungering for the righteous, for happiness. They don't know happiness. Those people are grim. Every Russian that's there hates his job. You know, I talked to many of them. I talked to Ivan, the man who was in charge of all the coal in the whole country. And, you know, we just talked to him about, you know, working, you know, helping out or something, you know. And they're very honest with you. And they like you. And they, you know, they're just people. They have an awful job there. His wife, you know, can't get enough vodka and stuff like that. No, it's a bad situation. But they're in a bureaucracy. Bureaucracy was destroying America. The American Constitution was never meant to be a bureaucratic constitution, because bureaucracy destroys anything. Hello? Mm-hmm. Bureaucracy is what destroyed Rome. Hello? You can't have a bureaucratic government. A bureaucracy is made of big shots, you see. All kinds of people with permanent jobs that aren't chosen by the people, they're not accountable to the people, and there can be no happiness. God is not a bureaucrat. Praise God, He sent His Son. He didn't send a committee. He didn't have a committee study the needs of man.
So what do you angels come up with lately? Well, I recommend we leave him alone. You know, thank you for your report. Now, you know, no, he sent his own son because God doesn't work by committee. It's personal with God. He goes himself. He doesn't have a project for Mozambique like I wanted to do for Robert. So, you know, talk to the mission group in my church. Well, where is it? Well, we don't have one yet. You could probably start one. Happiness. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The godly man, the one who goes the way of the godly, will never fail. Cannot fail. Will not fail. I'm going to tell you something right now. We will succeed. We will overcome. We will win. We will prosper. God is not a liar. All we have to do is meet the condition. The condition is to know him. The condition is to fit in with his law. The condition is don't be afraid of hard work. Don't be afraid of industry. Don't be afraid of spending sleepless nights. Don't be afraid of doing whatever it takes to do whatever needs to be done. Being a channel of blessing to others is the hardest work on earth. Much suffering, very demanding. It takes, first of all, let me erase all this. Well, here, we'll just put it here. It takes vision. You have to have a vision. Then it takes character. You have to have character. It takes virtue. You have to have virtue. It takes wisdom. You must have wisdom. It takes understanding. It takes industry, hard work. It takes all kinds of things to be able to bring happiness to others. It takes everything you have. But I tell you, when you know you're loved, you have all kinds of energy. When you know you're loved and you cannot fail and you'll never be rejected, you have tremendous energy. Joe, do you know what I'm saying? When you know you're loved, you don't have to go with the ungodly. You know you cannot fail. When you know someone loves you and you can't be rejected, you cannot fail. You'll take on the biggest vision, which is reach this world. Reach this world. That's a big vision. How many think we can't do it? How many think we can do it? How many think we ought to try? We've got to do this because that's what God said. That's why we're here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to build the kingdom of God on the earth. Extend it. It's a foretaste. It's not the whole thing. But we're not supposed to do the whole thing. It's just a foretaste. I mean, God's going to bring the whole thing. We're just part of the hope. We just point to it. But you have to have vision. You have to have character. You have to have virtue. I mean, you have to be cleaned up. You cannot go and help if you're greedy, if you're egoistic, if you're selfish, if you're trying to get a reputation for yourself. You have to go with nothing. You have to go at all costs. That's why we're here. That makes me happy. Why? Because I already have everything. What more do I want? I'm not looking for anything. I need nothing. Hello? I don't need a new car. I don't need a new anything. I don't care about it. It doesn't matter. The only reason I want anything is so I can do something. But I don't need to do anything. I want to do it. In other words, God said, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. So I said, okay, I'm not going to worry about it. I will just keep going and you'll supply. So that's right. I'm the source. I'm the supply. Neil, you just had a whole year of nothing. And God supplied, didn't he? Here you are, back again. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That you didn't have any income. You didn't, there's no way. But you see, God will supply. Kyle the other morning didn't have anything. Just, empty, zero, in a hole. And God supplied. Why? Because Kyle came to God and said, God, help. I don't have a leg to stand on. It's all my own fault. I don't blame anybody. I'm a mess. Kyle, did you say that? And within minutes that we prayed, there's someone trying to get in while we were praying, God, we rebuke the devil, and God, we thank you for the, whatever it is. It's so big I can't even figure it out. But do it. And while we were saying like that, some guy's trying to beep in on us. And Kyle called back, and Kyle said, look, let me call you later. Somebody's trying to beep in on me here. He called back in a little while and said, praise God, everything's answered. God has answered. Well, that's God. God, and I remember we were praying, and God, you help right early. And that beeper kept coming. Cut that beeper out. We're trying to talk about God here. And we thank you. Isn't that right, Kyle? We were praying that way. Because God is a real God. Do you know him that way? Do you know him personally? You have to know that happiness is not getting a job. Happiness is knowing God. Happiness is not when the phone call comes. Happiness is ahead of time. We were already rejoicing before we saw it. Kyle said he was a mess, and I said, amen. He said, I'm a mess. I don't deserve it. Amen. Praise God. That's the place to be. Not, I'm all right. I've done everything right. That's not the place to be. The place to be is, I deserve nothing, but praise God, you said, No weapon fashioned against me shall prevail. You said, even if I messed up, you'd protect me. You said, you'd be my personal manager. Kyle made him his personal manager, that's all. He didn't deserve it. You know? Kyle should have gotten what he deserved, right? You know? Right, Kyle? You should have. You know you should have. Now you're hedging a little bit. Should have gotten it. Ha ha ha. Says, rejoice not in the wrong. You know, we are that way, aren't we? We like people to get it until we get into the hole. Then suddenly we change our thinking. I tell you, none of us deserves anything, but God said you deserve everything. God says, look, I want you to be happy. It's God's will that we be happy. It's God's will that we not walk with the ungodly. It's God's will that we realize it's hard work. It's God's will that we work hard. I want you to work hard, not easy. Don't look for the easy way. You have to use your brains. Your mind has been given not to be idle. Don't be watching television, which adds nothing to life. You know? You want God, nothing else. That's about all you've got over there at that home is God. You don't get much else over there. You don't have anything over there. How can Ray be happy? Because he's got God. God loves him. Praise God. Amen. Look, happiness is blessing others. How many of you are busy blessing? Busy blessing. Oh, I tell you, that's the joy of life. Isn't that the joy, to be so rich, to be so full, to be so prospered that you just you lack wisdom of how to use it all for others? Isn't that the key? I know that's what you people do, Jim and Maureen. That's what you're constantly thinking of. How do we have enough wisdom now to know how to put all this out? Not, I wish we had more. Christians ought not to be in the boat of wishing we had more. We ought to be in the boat of we got so much we don't know what to do with it all. You're all rich. You've got so much. Just start giving it away. Hello? You've got more than you can possibly imagine. Give it away. Not because the world out there needs it so much. They need you. They need God. And God's in you. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. The last thing, only he who is happy in God can overcome. Only someone who's happy in God can prosper. Only the happy are lovers. Only the lovers are happy. Only they shall prosper. So only the happy. You see, you cannot, in this world, you cannot accomplish anything unless you're happy. Only the happy shall overcome. The overcomers in the last days are going to be the happy, not the miserable. Now, Christianity has taught us that the miserable shall get it in the end. The miserable. But I tell you, it's not the miserable, it's the happy. Only the happy survive. Only the happy live forever. Only the happy stay happy. So get it now. Don't wait for heaven. Heaven is today. Heaven is now. God wants you to be happy now. Let's say it. I am happy now. My happiness does not come from ungodliness. My happiness is because I am coming to know God as Savior and as my Lord. Happiness does not come easily. I don't want an easy life. I like the hard way. Leads to life. Happiness is fitting in with God's divine plan. Happiness is blessing others. Happiness is being a channel of blessing to others, which is the hardest work on earth. And finally, I am happy, and that's why I will overcome. Praise God. Amen.